This is Jay Sekulow's breaking news. A big change at the State Department.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Rex and I have been talking about this for a long time. We got along actually quite well, but we disagreed on things.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
What was it about their relationship that caused this level of strain?
He fell out with Trump by being on the opposite side of Trump on just about every policy issue you can think of. He was against Trump's on the Iran deal. They fell out on the issue of Qatar. North Korea, if you remember, the president came out and said, save your energy, Rex, with your negotiations. So if you did a tour around the world, it's actually, oh, sorry, by the way, Jerusalem. Rex and James Mattis argued against the decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and to move the embassy.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so 14 months into administration, you start seeing changes at the cabinet level, and we're seeing one right now, and that is Rex Tillerson is out as Secretary of State. His nominee replacement is our friend Mike Pompeo. Mike is a former three-term U.S. congressman. He's been on this broadcast a lot, and he became director of the Central Intelligence Agency and now has been nominated to be Secretary of State. He is a graduate of West Point, where he graduated first in his class. He was an armor officer in the Army, served in the first Gulf War as an armored cavalry officer. He graduated from Harvard Law School in 1994 and was the editor of the Harvard Law Review. He was confirmed as a CIA director by a vote of 66 to 32. His policies align with the president. He's a hawkish stance on national security, including his opposition to the Iran nuclear deal, which was a point of conflict between Rex Tillerson and the president. And another point of conflict between the president and Rex Tillerson was the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So you have this change. I think it's for the best, and I will take it on a personal note. I've had a good relationship with Rex Tillerson, but I will say this. We have a pastor who's been in jail in Turkey for 15 months. His name is Andrew Brunson. He's a U.S. citizen. He ministered in Turkey for 23 years. And to just be quite frank, I was not getting a lot of help out of the State Department. And we need help out of the State Department on this. And when Mike Pompeo is confirmed, I'm going to work aggressively with his team to see if I can make this a top priority. The president has raised it, by the way, multiple times, the release of Pastor Brunson directly with Erdogan. But you have to have the apparatus of the State Department on you. And there are some things being moved right now, so it's not all bad, but bad news. But I want this pastor released from jail. He's done nothing wrong. He's an American citizen. He ministered in Turkey for 23 years without a problem, and it's time we get him out. So hopefully a change at the State Department will make that more possible. And yeah. By the way, we were at the UN in Brussels this week, where the daughter of Pastor Brunson gave testimony. Cece Holler, senior counsel, was handling that, and she did a great job before the United Nations.
Yeah, and I would say this too. I mean, people are saying, of course, the criticism here is that, well, you don't want to surround yourself with just yes men. But the idea is that Rex Tillerson was fundamentally opposed to some of the policies that the president, and he's the commander-in-chief, supported, like being more aggressive in pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal and pushing the other countries to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal of course, pushing back on that, on the Jerusalem issue. So I think that there was the writing on the wall with this relationship. And the former Congressman Pompeo, who was the CIA director, has already been confirmed once. And I think that at the State Department, he's kind of the perfect because he – sees eye to eye with the president on implementing policy. It's not about being a yes man. It's about implementing the policies of the commander in chief and coming up with the strategies, like you said, to get Pastor Brunson out, to make those things happen.
All right. Phone lines are open right now. If you want your voice heard, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow. Again, the phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110.
Hey, we've had a great start to our matching challenge for March, and I just want to encourage you to continue your support of the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. Any amount you donate this month, we're getting a matching gift for, and I said we're off to a great start. Your support makes a huge difference in our ability to handle these cases all over the world, including for Pastor Andrew Brunson. So again, if you go to aclj.org, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So $10 is $20, $20 is $40, $100 is $200. A lot of you are doing it, so I want to say a huge thank you from all of us at the ACLJ. Again, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, a big change at the State Department. Rex Tillerson is out as Secretary of State, and Mike Pompeo has been nominated. Mike's a good friend. He's been on this broadcast many times, and I will also tell you that he is not only a military officer, but was a Harvard Law School graduate. And we've got, you know, we do a lot of work with the State Department, and we're working on one case right now for Pastor Andrew Brunson, and frankly, some new leadership there I think could be helpful for this. I really think It could be helpful. We want to have your reaction to this. There was differences between Rex Tillerson and the president on Iran, on Paris climate change, and on Jerusalem, the recognition of Jerusalem. So we want your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Give us your reaction. What are you seeing on online as far as social media posts? Where are most people reacting, Logan?
A lot of people are just commenting on the news. A lot of people just waiting to hear your reaction in general. I'd say that's kind of people's thoughts of what your thoughts are on Mike Pompeo and the changes.
We are big fans of Mike Pompeo's, and fam, we've got a long-standing relationship with him.
Well, he's been on this broadcast many times, and Jay, usually it's about either the Iran deal or support for Israel. So two of the issues where there's been a divide for the outgoing secretary and the president, Mike Pompeo addresses that conclusively. And Jay, just on a process question, I spoke with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee this morning. They expect to have a hearing on this very quickly because there's such a thorough track record for Mike Pompeo. He is not an unknown entity. These senators know him. And I would just say this, when it comes to Senate Republicans, there's no real excuse, Jay, for their vote on his confirmation to not be within the next few weeks. And I'm speaking to Republicans here. 14 Democrats supported Mike Pompeo earlier in 2017. This vote should happen very, very soon.
All right, well, that's the plan and that's the hope. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, from a political standpoint, not unusual. About 14, 15 months in, start seeing some changes.
Yeah, the president said that too. And this was, again, it was a policy decision. And usually, the person confirmed for Secretary of State would agree with the policies. But remember, this is a president who came in, was not a kind of creature of Washington. And so when he was he said it today, when he was putting together his cabinet initially, he was looking for qualified people. But then you were starting to see there was, you know, disagreements. We saw Gary Cohn from the economic side. There will be replacements. So there's plenty and people like Mike Pompeo who have demonstrated they are more in line with the president's foreign policy on the core issues. And I think there were a lot of – the State Department was – there was a lot of issues there. There was a lot of internal criticism. And I'm not saying they're going to love Mike Pompeo, these bureaucrats of the State Department, but that's probably a good thing. And for us, and I think for a lot of conservatives and for people who work on Capitol Hill, like organizations like ours, when he was CIA director – that's kind of a divide. You're not, you know, where you're not calling up the CIA director because they're focused on counterintelligence and counterterrorism activities. But as State Department, as a Secretary of State, like you said, there's so many issues we can work with his office on and with him directly. And to have that relationship, I think, is going to be very helpful for not just our organization, but for a number of people who have worked with Mike Pompeo as a member of Congress. And now he'll be in a much more public role.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones.
All right, let's go to Delana, who's calling on line one in Washington.
Hey, Delana.
Hello.
Hey.
I agree that the Secretary of State should be in line with the president's policies, and he shouldn't be contradicting him overseas, but shouldn't he or she also be allowed to have the courage to bring a disagreement to the table for discussion?
Well, I think disagreements are great. I mean, I think that, you know, when I say disagreements, I mean, the idea that you would have collegial discussions and you'd have multiple sides presented is something this president has encouraged, and it's normal in process. But when a policy decision is made, the Secretary of State serves as a cabinet officer in the president's cabinet. So they have to be in sync. If they're not in sync, then the president doesn't go. The Secretary of State goes. I mean, and there is policy differentials here that evidently were significant enough, including Iran, including Israel, and the Paris Climate Accords and other matters, that I think it reached that point.
There's a difference between the strategy to implement the policy and then direct policy differences. As president, you have to have people who are going to implement the policies you support. Now, they may have disagreements on the best way to implement those policies, so they give the president options. There's, you know, in those cabinet meetings, cabinet members that disagree. But ultimately, they shouldn't be disagreeing on the overall policies. These are the big-ticket policies, the Iran nuclear deal. Nothing secret about this. The Paris Climate Accords, the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. These are major public issues. Now, you can disagree on the best way to implement or go about the strategy. And that's where I think it is important to have the discussion. But if you're fundamentally opposed to the policies, it's not going to work because you're not going to want to implement it. And I think that's what we saw, is that Rex Tillerson was kind of dragging his feet on those issues. And so it wasn't up to speed with the White House.
So, Than, what do you expect here as far as the change goes? What do you think substantively it means? By the way, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Well, I think, first of all, it's going to make crystal clear to the rest of the world, Jay, that the President of the United States establishes the foreign policy of the United States. And again, nothing against Rex Tillerson, but I think Mike Pompeo, when he travels around the world, he is going to echo the wishes and the policy choices of the president. So substantively, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, politically, though, Jay, I'm watching to see if Senate Democrats make a game of this, because, again, we've talked about this, but 14 Democrats supported him. Rand Paul did oppose him. If Rand Paul were to oppose him again, Jay, the Senate Democrats could play some games here. So I just want to publicly, in advance of any of these folks get out, remind those 14 Senate Democrats that they've already voted on this man, and I think their vote should remain the same when he comes to the floor.
Let me ask our audience a question here. So, because you understand I think it's important to understand the policy issue here. So if you take the issue of the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, how do you feel about that? Is that important to you? And what would you do if you had a cabinet member that was not in line with that? Same thing with the Iran, so-called Iran deal. The president opposes it. We oppose it. That it was not a good deal. And the end result was that evidently Rex Tillerson took a different view. So how important is the situation with Iran and the situation on the recognition of Jerusalem to you? And then we'll talk about how that filters into policy. So we'll take your calls on that. And we'd like to hear from all over the country on this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. In reality, the Secretary of State's role, Jordan, is, and if you look at cabinet members, it's clearly one of the top.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, and I'd point back to, listen, President Obama. There was not a lot of love between President Obama and Secretary Clinton, but on policy matters, they saw eye to eye. She was not undermining the policies. They agreed in the overall general direction of where the U.S. foreign policy should go. And then Secretary Kerry, do you ever remember him like disagreeing with President Obama publicly? No. So as Secretary of State, because as Than said, you know, you are going around the world more so than even the vice president to some extent and representing the United States of America, that you've got to be clearly on the same points, yes, policy-wise, as the president of the United States, or else you don't seem like you've got the power.
Yeah, well,
because if you're saying
message.
Something different than the president, it means there's a communication issue between you and the president. I think this is, again, President Trump said it today. It's nothing personal with him. They don't see eye to eye on the issues. And it's after 14 months, it's time to make the change.
So policy matters, and personnel is policy. And what you have to look at here, I look at the big three. I look at Iran.
Yeah.
I look at the policy as it relates to Jerusalem. And then I look at the greater Middle East policy. And
North
I just
Korea.
And North Korea. And I think they were just not in sync. And the president is the commander-in-chief. So, again, we want your reaction to all this at 1-800-684-3110. So now, Fan, walk us through the process here of what actually happens with the Pompeo nomination.
So it'll be sent to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Actually, it'll probably be received by the committee today, Jay. They will have to schedule a hearing. Honestly, it could be as soon as this Thursday. It has not been announced yet, but the scheduled hearing that they had announced was canceled, so there is an opening there. But they would then have to report the nomination to the floor. And again, we've talked about this for other nominees, but Jay, it only needs a simple majority. So in this case, 50 votes, the tiebreaker, if it was 50-50 and John McCain was back, could be cast by Vice President Pence. Again, slim numbers, but 14 Senate Democrats have voted for it. In theory, though, let's be clear to Senate Republicans. They don't need a Democrat. If the Senate Republicans come to the floor and vote for Mike Pompeo, he's the next Secretary of State.
Well, I think that's right. All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, from a world stage, I mean, you do a lot at the UN, and you've yep. testified at the UN. The messaging is very important of what's coming out of the Secretary of State.
That's right. And so we are used to seeing very high-profile Secretaries of States more recently. I mean, since the Bush administration, people, again, high-profile individuals, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and then with the Obama administration, you had Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. I mean, people who were known to the world and to Americans. Rex Tillerson never really assumed that role. He didn't do a lot of media, didn't do a lot of press, and I think that this is a job where you have to do that. You've got to be out there and in front, because you need to be a name to the world to represent the president, to make those other countries believe that when you speak, you're speaking on behalf of the commander-in-chief of the most powerful country in the world. We come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And how do you think this is going to impact also the North Korea sit-down is scheduled for May? Supposedly that had to do with this as well. But we've got a matching challenge right now. Again, working in Brussels and the UN's because of your support. Whatever you're able to donate online is doubled at aclj.org. Make that donation today. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the Secretary of State switch that's going to go on. Second half of the broadcast, we'll get into a little bit of what happened on Capitol Hill yesterday with the House Republicans saying after a 14-month investigation, no evidence of collusion, and they're done, which I think is right. There is no evidence of collusion, so they should be done. All right, we're taking our calls at 1-800-684-3110. Wes Smith just joined us, and I want to talk to him about something I was talking about when we were on with our Facebook and Periscope audience just moments ago, and that is Mike Pompeo's, you look at his record, military graduate of West Point, spent 5 years on active duty. He graduated first in his class from West Point, was an armor officer in the first Gulf War, graduated from Harvard Law School, was an editor of the Harvard Law Review. As Stan said, he was confirmed by the CIA as director by a 66-32 vote. He is a hawk. He's a tough guy.
He is. He's a real patriot. He's conservative,
yep.
As you would expect most military people to be. The fact that he graduated number one in his class at West Point is no small thing. That is an extremely difficult thing to do. And then he served his 5 years on active duty, which is required for graduates of the academy, and then went into business in Kansas, security business and oil business. Then, of course, served three terms as a congressman. But he is a very, very smart, capable man. And he is a patriot. You can disagree with him on policies, but he is a patriot. He loves America. And he is a very conservative, potential Secretary of State.
He's also been very tough on radical jihadism.
Very, very tough. Whenever he was in Congress, he was very critical of the previous State Department and the Obama administration in general because he felt like they would not name the enemy, radical Islam, and that when it came to Syria, Iran, Israel, that they waffled too much.
Yep.
Mike Pompeo, say what you will, he will not waffle. You will know where he stands. And I think the other thing that's important, Jay, is that the Secretary of State travels on behalf of the president. He is a senior ranking member of the cabinet.
Yep.
And what did not happen with Rex Tillerson that I think will happen with Mike Pompeo is that when the Secretary of State travels abroad and he talks, people take it for granted that he is speaking for the president, that what he says carries weight and authority, and that will happen with Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, we're going to grab a call in a moment here, Logan, but I want to go to Jordan that because Wes said something really important. That is, part of this is imagery and conveying atmospherics and also then policy. So it's both how you're perceived and the actual policy you're implementing on a world stage.
Yeah, that's right. And I think when it comes to Mike Pompeo, the resume is there. That's why he got the confirmation of the 14 Democrats, which in this environment is extraordinary to even get people from across the aisle to support you. For what I think in some ways can be a more controversial position as director of CIA. Again, the State Department role, you are out front as much as at least the vice president, if not more so, especially because you are constantly traveling the world, meeting with heads of states in some instances, depending on the size kind of the country, and foreign ministers at a time when there's a lot of conflict going on that either is going to be solved diplomatically or with military action. And so I think the military, we've seen this before, very successful. The military background coming into the State Department and knowing that you don't want that to be your first choice because you've seen it firsthand,
right?
So that you want those diplomatic options to succeed,
right?
But you are a realist in the sense of how the world operates, and so again, having a Gulf War veteran there as
that is great.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect move, and I think it makes sense for President Trump.
Yeah, it does. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. We got a lot of calls. Phone lines are jammed right now.
Let's go to Steve in Joplin, Missouri, on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, sir. I just support the president. He was elected on his stances and policies, and I think it's important that at the end of the day, the people that work for him support him. And he's proven his executive style that he's not surrounded by yes men and women.
No, I think that's right. And Than, I think it's important for everybody to understand. Of course, Than is our director of governmental affairs, but this is a governmental affair issue because it is, as I said, it's how we're perceived on the world stage.
None more important than this position, Jay. I mean, this is the reason that the Constitution vests the foreign policy in the executive branch, because it is so important that the United States speak with one voice around the world. And anytime you start getting, you know, any dilution of that unified voice, it's a problem. You're not going to have that problem with Mike Pompeo. I think it's going to be a situation, Jay, where he will be very forthright, very intelligent, very articulate in his arguments behind closed doors. But when he goes out across the world, what are you going to hear, Jay? You're going to hear the message of the President of the United States, and that's the way it should be.
That's the way. And there should not be a conflict in the message and the signal we're sending west to the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
And no daylight between our messaging.
No daylight at all. And Mike Pompeo, being a former military and being a West Point grad, he will understand that, that behind closed doors, you can go toenail to toenail. But when you walk out the door, you salute, as we say in the military, and step out smartly.
Yep. All right. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We got time. Let's grab another one.
All right. Let's go to Gloria in New Mexico on line 4. You're on the air.
Hey, Gloria.
Hello, gentlemen. So God opens and closes doors. He's in control. The season for Rex Tillerson is over. And actually, I liked his premise coming from Texas. I liked the way he had done stuff. But when he spoke out, and I don't doubt that he said that the president had idiotic powers.
I don't want to get into that. I'm just not going to get into that because, you know, he denied it. And I'm not getting into that. The president has to be in sync with his secretary of state. I mean, it's that. I mean, Jordan, this is not a complicated proposition. The president gets to appoint a cabinet. They should, as Wes just said, disagree behind, hash out the policies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But once that's done, we've got to have a unified voice so we're not sending mixed messages to the North Koreans, the Iranians, or anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have people as your secretary of state who you say, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. And then we'll come back to you and say, okay, this is how we can get it done. This is how difficult it will be. This is what I think the best strategies will be. You bring in other cabinet members. You can have all these debates behind the scenes, but you do not disagree publicly. I mean, when you start doing that, you're basically giving your resignation as a cabinet member. And so in this sense, I think that the writing was on the wall here. People are just kind of waiting to see when this shoe would drop. And I think, again, naming also, we haven't talked about it yet, but the next CIA director as well, who's coming from the CIA bureaucracy. Yep. And so it's not a political person at all. It's going to make it, again, a tough for Democrats to oppose. There's some controversy there.
First going female back to, CIA director
but yeah,
in
so,
U.S.
I mean,
history.
I think that these moves, you've already got one person who's been confirmed for a top cabinet position, CIA director. And then you've got, again, a career deputy director of the CIA right now, who's been praised by both the former Democrat heads of the CIA, like I think you saw that from Brennan and others. And so with that kind of support, it's going to be tough for those Democrats to oppose.
All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break here at 1-800-684-3110. Logan's to let you know that we're ending the first 30 minutes now. Went by quick. We've got a couple phone lines open, so 800-684-3110. But Logan's going to let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, and I'm going to ask you to help us on our matching challenge.
Yes, you don't get it on your local station, which many of you do. You can find us broadcasting live right now on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/jseculo. Periscope and Twitter at jseculo, as well as on aclj.org. Again, broadcasting on social media, aclj.org, and on your local stations, depending on where you are located, so you continue listening. But if you watch online, we don't go to break. We continue with either exclusive video content, or we just continue the conversation.
All right. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign for ACLJ. So that's at aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. aclj.org. So if you donate $20, we get $40. You know how it works. But we've had a great start. Your support makes a big difference. Again, aclj.org. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. We've got a couple lines open for you. 1-800-684-3110. We'll keep going through calls. We want to know what you have to think about this situation. 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Rex Tillerson is out as Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo, current CIA director, has been nominated. He is a graduate of West Point, where he graduated first in his class. He was an armor officer in the Army, served in the first Gulf War as an armored cavalry officer, 7th Cavalry, 4th Infantry Division. Graduated from Harvard Law School in 1994, was editor of the Law Review. He was confirmed as a CIA director by a vote of 66-32. He is a conservative. He's hawkish on national security, including his opposition to the Iran nuclear accord and supportive of our military, obviously. He was, again, initially confirmed by a 66-32 vote. He's been tough on radical jihadism, which I think is important. But I think what was at play here was there was not the Secretary of State and the president were not in sync. And when you're the president, you're the commander in chief. Now, behind the scenes in cabinet meetings, negotiate, disagree, whatever you want to do, that's fine. I mean, that's perfectly appropriate. But once a decision is made as a policy matter, then the Secretary of State is representing the administration to the world. And you have to be in sync. I mean, and that was what was absent here.
Yeah, and I think that was the core of the president's message this morning when he spoke to reporters before boarding the Marine One to head out to California. And as he said, that it's not a personal issue, that he liked Rex Tillerson as personally, but that they were not seeing eye to eye on the major policies. And that with Mike Pompeo, he feels like they do see eye to eye. And you want stability in this position. So if you see problems in this position early on in your administration, 14 months in, you don't want to have to go through three or four or five people to be Secretary of State. You need someone who sees eye to eye with you, who you can at least expect to serve out your first term.
Right.
Because stability is very important when you have someone going around the world representing you. And if you're not seeing eye to eye, the stability is already shaken.
But also with now the negotiations with North Korea, major. Wes, that's another big factor here.
It is a big factor. And Mike Pompeo is on the record as saying what we have said on this broadcast, and that is going into these direct talks with North Korea, that no sanctions can be lifted. There can be no concessions until the talks have concluded. Mike Pompeo has been very articulate on that. He is a tough, smart guy. I think the fact that the State Department works so closely with the CIA will also serve him well. You know, at our embassies around the world, that's where your CIA station chiefs generally are headquartered. They work closely together. And so coming from the CIA and that intelligence background, it will serve him well in the Department of State because of that close relationship.
So, Than, let's talk about the battle ahead. He should be confirmed. We have a longstanding relationship with Mike Pompeo. And I think as it relates to I think about cases like Pastor Andrew Brunson, American pastor, been ministering in Turkey for 23 years, didn't have a problem, gets picked up by Turkish authorities. And the State Department just has not had a lot of leadership. And I mean, there's been some help. But, you know, with Mike Pompeo, I'd like to get this as a priority item within someone dedicated to this in his office.
And it really needs to happen quick, Jay. I mean, I do think he's going to be confirmed, but I'm speaking directly to Senate Republicans, not even so much Democrats, when I say it has to happen quickly because of the case that you just mentioned, Pastor Brunson. But just think about the next few months on Israel, Iran, and North Korea. I mean, we touched on them briefly, but the president will have to send a Secretary of State to, you know, work and get that new embassy up and open after it opens in May. And Jay, think about the decertification of the Iran deal and rolling out new sanctions on Iran. He needs to be in place soon. I don't think 2 or 3 months can pass. I really think this confirmation should happen inside of a month.
Oh, I'm with you on that. We need to really move on that. All right, we're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged, get your comments in, get your number. Yep. Couple lines open for you, too.
We do. 1-800-684-3110. We got a few calls that are already on hold. We'll get to you guys in the next segment. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, we'll have exclusive video coming up in the break that's made just for you guys who watch online. So we won't go to commercial. We'll have a special video just for all of you. And you make sure you're watching the show and get your comments in on Facebook, facebook.com/jsekulo.
Let me also say we're in our matching challenge. We've had a great start. Your support of the ACLJ has been critical and continues to be. So if you donate this month to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift. So it's aclj.org. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift. So again, $10 is 20, 20 is 40, 40 is 80. You know how it works. So aclj.org. We come back from the break. We're going to take more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. It's important that the Secretary of State reflect the positions of the President, who is ultimately the Commander-in-Chief. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Stay tuned.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Enough keyboards there for you, Logan? How about cowbell?
Just the right amount of keyboards.
How about cowbell?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm on beat.
I was. That's all right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. All right. We've got joining us in the studio Professor Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy. Let's talk about the change here, Harry. This was, in one sense, not very surprising. Announced in a way because of social media and everything, everybody's talking about this. But this has not been a surprise to those of us that are working in Washington and understand what's been going on here. Yeah.
Everyone knows that Tillerson and President Trump had serious disagreements over several policy issues. North Korea, moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, the Paris Climate Accord, retaining, for instance, the Iranian nuclear deal, which Tillerson supports and President Trump opposes. So there are clear and unmistakable reasons why Tillerson is out and why Mike Pompeo is in. I think Mike Pompeo supports the Trump doctrine, both with respect to Russia, with respect to the Middle East, with respect to confronting terror.
North Korea.
Respect to North Korea. So I think it's a wise move, and I think the timing is propitious.
So, Wes, you said something during the break that I think people need to understand, and that the Secretary of State is not just a member of the cabinet.
No. And our continuity of government exercises that we don't hear about a lot, and hopefully we'll never have to use it. But in Washington, they rehearse this on a regular basis. What happens if someone tries to take out the leadership in our government? And the Secretary of State is fourth in line to the president, after the vice president, the Speaker of the House, the President Pro Tem of the Senate, and then it's the Secretary of State in the unlikely and awful event that we have to plug in with our continuity of government exercise. I think that his appointment, Mike Pompeo's appointment, is, as Harry said, the timing is perfect. It will unite President Trump's doctrine and his foreign policy. I think it will serve as a great comfort to our allies. And it will put some trepidation in the hearts of our adversaries.
So, Than, I was going to ask you, I mean, I just left Washington yesterday, but how was what's the perception this morning on this from the Hill?
I think much like you said, Jay, I don't think it was a surprise to a lot of people and for a lot of the reasons we've talked about. But think about it this way. Other members of the cabinet, Jay, who do they talk to? They talk to a domestic audience. Who does the Secretary of State talk to? He talks to an international audience. So what Wes was talking about, a continuity of government, certainly true. But even you know, barring any tragedy, this is such an important position because it really is someone who speaks outside, not outside the chain of command, but separate from him. The president's not always there, Jay, so it needs to be the president's voice through another person.
We've had, Jordan, over the years, we've worked with secretaries, and you have done this, worked with secretary of states of both parties.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of cases we've had, especially when it comes to Americans being held captive by foreign governments because of their Christian faith. What's your sense of this as it relates to that issue, the Pastor Brunsons of the world and those kind of cases?
I think you're going to see more, a much more aggressive approach to this because it's not going to be the behind-the-scenes leadership style that Rex Tillerson had, which personally I don't think really works well for Secretary of State. I think there's a lot of cabinet positions that don't have to be the most high-profile people. I mean, a lot of cabinet positions people cannot name. For Secretary of State, if you follow the news closely, not only should you be able to name them, you should regularly kind of hear from them and their tone and their message, you know, appearing regularly in the news, in press conferences around the world, and representing the United States. So I think that having that more out front, someone who served in Congress, so they've already been in that position before,
yep.
You know, going out there campaigning, if you will, taking hard positions on policy, not just coming from the corporate world. I think Rex Tillerson was a good choice for the initial part of this administration because it was, again, seen as a kind of widespread support from both sides of the aisle. He had a lot of connections to world leaders from his position in the oil industry. But now that we're getting into major policy issues,
real big
if there are disagreements, yep. You can't have that person serving as Secretary of State. We're not talking about disagreements of how to implement the policy. We're talking about disagreements on the actual policy itself. That does not work.
All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got a couple lines open. We also have some people who have been waiting. Logan, who do we have next?
All right, let's go to Patricia on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Patricia.
Yes, hello. Jay,
hey.
I wanted to find out with coming into play. And I know that he's in line with the president as far as this Iran deal being a mess. When that comes to end, what are the ramifications with our allies and with us that could possibly come into play?
Well, look, I think, first of all, the problem is, and this is the ongoing problem, once that Iran deal was put in place, you had a situation where, in essence, a lot of our allies wanted to do business with Harry, right? They wanted to
Absolutely.
Do business with Iran. So they're going to be resistant of any kind of change. Having said that, the United States carries a big voice in all that. But Harry, what's your sense of that from a policy standpoint?
Well, Mike Pompeo has suggested that the Iran nuclear deal is disastrous. And I think most observers would agree with that. However, our European allies are looking forward to trading with Iran. However, I think Mike Pompeo, as Secretary of State, will engage in efforts to persuade our allies that it's in their long-term interests to roll back the deal. I don't think, this is my opinion, that Mr. Tillerson was committed to rolling back the Iran nuclear deal. I don't believe that he actively worked to push back against the European our European allies. So I think this is a step forward. I think it's going to be difficult, but I think Pompeo is the right person for the job.
Yeah, and I do think it's going to change fundamentally on these major issues like the Iran deal, where you've got, this is again, you have the policy agreement, and then you've got to put in the strategy to undo it, and it is not easy. I mean, it is again, because you've got to convince the rest of the world who signed on to this deal,
right,
while at the same time taking a position of the United States implementing sanctions as well. So again, I think that's key. I think on North Korea, we've already heard from Mike Pompeo's already weighed in on this, that they have to keep those agreements that they made, not to fire nuclear missiles, to cut that off for right now, and to keep on the table the denuclearization leading up to this meeting. He's weighed in on those issues before. Even as CIA director, he's been more out front on a lot of these issues than the now former Secretary of State.
So, Wes, from your standpoint, looking at it as a military person, and that you got an incoming Secretary of State that's a military man, what's your sense of that?
I think he understands organization and the chain of command. He has a grasp of what his duties are as a member of the president's team and the Secretary of State. Because the Secretary of State is one of the principal national security advisors to the president,
yep.
I mean, one of the key three or four that are yep. always there, Mike Pompeo brings his military background and his brief experience at the CIA into that. Because when you talk about Iran and the flawed deal, it was controversial, the Iran deal, because it was flawed.
Yep.
When you talk about that, when you look at the relationship between Iran and North Korea, you need a Secretary of State with a background in national security to be advising the president. These are critical times.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Fan, quickly, let's go through the nomination process. Let's walk everybody through what happens now.
So now that the nomination has been made by the president, it goes to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Jay, they will have to hold a hearing and hear from the nominee, Mike Pompeo, because the testimony he gave prior when he was nominated to the CIA was in front of the Intelligence Committee. So he will give that testimony, and then the committee will take a vote on him. If a majority of the committee approves him, Jay, he will be what is called reported to the floor. Then Leader McConnell can put him on the floor as soon as he wants. And this is where I think we really need to pay attention. We need to make sure that Mike Pompeo does not sit on the executive calendar. The full Senate should vote on him really in a matter of weeks. Again, it takes 50 votes for him to be the next Secretary of State.
All right. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, I've been kind of looking at some of the comments coming in as well. A lot of it's focusing on Iran. I mean, clearly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were concerned with that in general, had that issue, and are glad to see maybe that something move forward.
Yeah, I think by getting someone in right. that shares the president's view, that will help.
Yeah, I mean, one of our comments just said the Secretary of State must be in step with the president.
Yeah,
that's from Penn. Yeah, I mean, we could actually, this is a short bite. This is just from Sunday from Mike Pompeo talking about North Korea. So here's tone, here's messaging. Again, here it is. Take a listen.
These discussions will play out over time. This first meeting, I think, is between the president, the leader of North Korea, the two people who are the decision makers, who will ultimately decide what arrangements are acceptable. But make no mistake about it, while these negotiations are going on, there will be no concessions made.
That's your new Secretary of State designate nominee. And I think, look, he's been a friend of ours for a long time, and I'm just thrilled that he's going to be the nominee. And on our case involving Pastor Brunson, I know that Mike Pompeo will take that to heart as well. All right, we're going to come back. We've got a couple lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Logan will be back in just about 2 minutes here.
That's right. And if you're watching online, the show continues on. So if you're watching, we'll keep the conversation going. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We try to take as many calls as possible in the last segment of the show. We have almost a full bank of calls. We have a couple lines open. You can call it right now. 1-800-684-3110.
We'll be back with more in just a minute.
That's right.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Mike Pompeo is now the nominee for Secretary of State. Rex Tillerson is out. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
All right. Let's continue on. Let's get some of these calls going. Let's go to Mark in New Jersey online, too.
You're Mark. Here.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great show today.
Thanks.
Why are people so surprised that the decisions that Trump's making? Everybody knew we voted him in for this particular reason. We did not want business as usual.
Well, and it's not business as usual. And the president, look, the Secretary of State is a cabinet member. It's the president's cabinet. American people elected the president. If the Secretary of State is not aligned policy-wise with the president, once a decision is made, in other words, you can have all kinds of arguments and debate before, it's not a hard call, right, Jordan? I mean, it's not a hard call.
No, it's not. I mean, and so I think this is different in the sense that because we had a president who was not coming out of the Washington world or the political world, you put in a cabinet as best as possible. But as you see, as these policy issues came to the forefront, and President Trump said this after this year, he's kind of seen the cabinet coming together. He's putting together the best cabinet he can. And that doesn't mean that right off the bat you're going to get to that you've got to make some changes. And so this is what you see, because we elected a president, because as we just said, who wasn't business as usual, who didn't know all of these typical Washington players. And because of that, policies are coming together. And also we're being confronted with new things. You couldn't predict 14 months ago that you'd have this possibility with North Korea. You could not necessarily predict that ISIS would be on the downfall, but yet Russia so involved in Syria. I mean, you can't predict all of those issues that arise. And even the Jerusalem issue. Most presidents have been pressured by their secretaries of defense and secretaries of state
to not do it.
To not do it, and have been too afraid, even though they were authorized by Congress, make that clear, to do so. Yep. They were not willing to do it.
Now, on the books since 1995.
Yes, but again, it's not like we didn't see them resign over the issue, but just the negativity to a point, the disagreements, if they become public, it doesn't work. And I think probably Rex Tillerson survived longer than most people thought.
Yeah, what do you think, Harry?
Well, I think Jordan is absolutely correct. In addition, I would suggest that Mike Pompeo appears to have more energy and a wider range of experience than Rex Tillerson. Mike Pompeo has, in my opinion, a superior capacity to express support for and explain the Trump doctrine to the world and to the United States. In other words, President Trump trusts Mike Pompeo. In my view, he did not fully trust Rex Tillerson.
Because of the lack of the conveyance of a message here. And then you're saying his military training is going to help on that, Wes.
Absolutely, it will. He understands processes and organizations. I mean, we cut our teeth on that in the military. And we've watched President Trump over the past year, like we watch all presidents, mature in the job. He has his sea legs about him. Yep. He knows more now, infinitely more than he knew a year ago. And I see this as part of his administration coming together.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Julie in California.
Hey, Julie.
Yes, hi. The Kurds have been our allies fighting ISIS, and they are also pro-Israel. And now apparently Turkey is bombing them and trying to eliminate them, essentially. Mike Pompeo, being a military person, what do you think his maybe advice to our president would be regarding the Kurds?
So, look, it's a interesting situation. The Kurds have been very supportive, and they have been a strong military. And but the Turks, who are also our NATO ally, do not like the. I'll go right back to Wes on this. Don't like the Kurds. So
they
there's
don't.
There's a deep seat. So this is you got to think nine dimensionally in all this.
You do. It's complicated. There are Kurdish groups that are terrorist groups.
Yep.
There are others that are not. There's a difference between the YPG and the CPG. The ones that have been our allies, who have been the most brave and courageous on the battlefield, the most organized, are the ones that have helped defeat ISIS. Turkey lumps all Kurds into the same group.
Yeah, you can't do that.
They see them as a threat on their border. But, Jay, you're right. It's complicated because Turkey is also our NATO ally.
And but they sure don't act like it.
They don't. The relationship is deteriorating by the day.
Yeah. And well, and that was that's been going on for years. Now, I want to let me go to Than on this. Then we'll grab these two calls. So, Than, though, as it relates to, we've got a real case with the State Department. That is Pastor Andrew Brunson. I want to bring that up again. So, it's not been, you've been working on this with CeCe Hall. It's not been getting the attention we wanted it to get on the State Department. The president has been very assertive and very aggressive on this. But coming, you need the apparatus of the State Department engaged here.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up right now, Jay, because I'm actually on an email chain right now with CeCe Hyle in the vice president's office. The vice president and the White House continue to work on this literally as we speak on the air. But when it comes down to it, it's like so many other of the issues that we're talking about. The vice president can decide and say, this is our policy, but then he has to empower someone to do a lot of the nuts and bolts. And when it comes to foreign affairs, that falls to the Secretary of State. I expect this will be one of the very first issues that lands on his desk.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's go to Yvonne in Oregon on line three. In Portland, you're on the air.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for everything you do.
Sure.
And my comment is just that I'm very pleased about Mike Pompeo being in line for this, because I believe he will carry out the president's foreign policies, and this is number one.
Well, look, I mean, Yvonne, I appreciate it. I was going to go to this, Jordan. You look at the three major issues you're facing right now: North Korea, Iran, and then the greater Middle East.
Yeah.
You've got to be, you have to be in sync when you're handling issues like this with your Secretary of State.
Yeah, and you can't have, again, these kind of a relationship that's strange. You've got to be constant communication. And what you've got to trust as president, when you send your Secretary of State overseas, that they're not attempting to undermine you either publicly or behind the scenes. And I think that got to a point with this where there were some statements that were publicly in disagreement. And then you have to imagine, if there are statements that are publicly in disagreement with your position as president, what is happening when it's behind the scenes?
Yeah, not good.
And so that doesn't work, and you've got to have the trust there. And I think, as the president said, he's got that trust with Mike Pompeo already.
And we've got a long relationship with Mike, and I'm just thrilled that he's been nominated for this position. All right, let's try to grab the last call.
Lauren in Atlanta, you're on the air.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have one quick question.
Yep.
What do you think of Pompeo's replacement as head of CIA?
Well, she's got we haven't had time to really get into this, but she's got the first female CIA director in U.S. history, number one. Number two, she's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, she was already the first woman to be CIA deputy director, and she's got appointments from the previous administration as well. So she was chosen to lead the clandestine service division by John Brennan. So, again, they're not going to be able to come out against. Has gotten praise from James Clapper. So even those who have been very critical of this administration from the Obama administration have been very supportive of her specifically. And so I think, again, Gina Haspel, there's some issues with the enhanced interrogation that will certainly come up. But she is not a politician. She comes out of again, a career service in the CIA in the clandestine division. With support from the past administration as well, so I don't think it's about that.
Give me a real quick, Wes.
Yeah, she's not only the first female to be the nominated for the director, she's the first career spy. She joined the agency in 1985, and most directors of the CIA have been political appointments. Yeah. Good ones: George H.W. Bush, Leon Panetta, Bob Gates.
Yeah. So this is we'll get more on that as time goes on. All right, that's going to do it for today. We're going to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org with our matching challenge. And Logan's let you know how you can stay engaged with us on all of our social media platforms.
That's right. Make sure you like and follow us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. That's at Jay Sekulo, at Jordan Sekulo, Logan Sekulo, Than Bennett, and ACLJ. And make sure you download the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for Apple devices. You can also get us in the Roku Channel Store. And make sure you visit again ACLJ for everything you need. We'll be back tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.